Welcome to episode 13 of Your Hearth at Home. My name is Tara and I am so grateful that you are here. Today I am excited to be speaking with Brooke Robichaud of Seek Purpose. She is a fellow podcaster, entrepreneur, and someone I am grateful to call a friend. In this episode, Brooke shares her story from growing up in a state of not feeling wanted to finding her only tool for filling these gaps in her inner landscape to be drugs and alcohol. She shares about moving through addiction and into sobriety, and how this journey has taken her to confronting places of facing many unknowns, with the beauty being that now she is moving into a space of embracing this discomfort, knowing that she is leveling up, as she puts it. Brooke tells us about how Seek Purpose was born, and how she continues to peel back layers of healing and growth both in that space of business and in her personal life. I am excited to have Brooke on the other side of the podcasting mic in this space and to share her story with you here. I hope that you enjoy. Welcome back to Your Hearth at Home. I am so extremely grateful today to be speaking with Brooke Robichaud. She is a recovering alcoholic, a wife, a mom of three, and also the co-founder of Seek Purpose Collective. Thank you so much for being here in this space.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to sit down and chat today.
Oh, me too, because I've just been so inspired by your podcast, right, through Seek Purpose. And so it's kind of fun to be in this kind of podcasting energy with you. And I would love to just start by kind of creating a little bit of context. So like all of these things present for you now, kind of, I know this is loaded, but can you tell us a little bit about your journey and how you came to be where you are today?
Well, how many podcast episodes is this going to be?
So many. It could be so many.
Yeah. It all starts so young. Thank you so much for having me here today. I just absolutely adore you and your energy and all you're doing. And I'm so valuing everything that you're putting out. I'm in your tap-in group. I'm so excited. I've got my why written down. I just have to find some quiet time to get it onto a live. But
epic.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, my journey when I was younger, I just always felt really unwanted everywhere. We were a very poor family living in a very nice neighborhood. And I'd look around me and all the families looked like the stereotypical like TV families and have dinner together and, you know, go clothes shopping and have nice brand new clothes. And they do Bible studies in the morning. And then no, there was my house with like the dirty old bikes and tires all over the yard and like literal like trash everywhere and broken down cars and balconies falling apart. And it looked on the outside exactly like it was on the inside. The families that lived in our neighborhood, I'm sure had their problems, but they sure did a good job of making it look pretty and shiny on the outside. And just feeling that difference growing up, I noticed that the other kids weren't playing with me as much. There's a lot of partying and drug use and alcohol abuse in my family and at home. And I was very ignored. You know, my dad left when I was very young and I just kept not feeling wanted everywhere I go. And so I had that in my head and my story was I'm not wanted. And that led me to do some pretty awful things that I don't love about myself, that to try and feel wanted, I would, you know, try and get attention from men. I didn't care if they had a girlfriend. I didn't care, you know, what the story was. I just wanted that attention, that validation. I wanted to feel wanted. I would go crazy if someone didn't invite me somewhere. Like it made me feel so hurt not to be invited. It was so unproportionate to what was actually going on. And yeah, and the more I would act out that way, the more less I'd feel wanted by my peers. And I just felt like I was broken. Like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I get this thing? Like, why does everyone else seem happy? Why do they feel like they've got life? Like, I was always searching for the why. Like, why is this happening? Why do people treat me this way? I can even remember in a grade 7 dance, I was in like this game show thing they did on stage. I haven't ever talked about this actually. I don't know why it just came up, but this boy, he picked me to be his like date or whatever. It was like a blind thing. And I remember his face when they like took the blind thing off and he saw me, he looked so disappointed. And I stood in the mirror staring at my face after that, trying to figure out what is wrong with me. Like I just felt like something was wrong with me and I needed to fix it. And I wanted to know how to be like everybody else. And then I found drugs and alcohol, and that like it started with alcohol. I was 16 when I started drinking. I tried it when I was 14, but it didn't really go well. Like, I had a couple of sips and then my mom got mad at me because she could smell alcohol in my breath and that was it. But then I started like dating and wanted to feel like I fit in, and definitely didn't want to feel different. I wanted to be like everyone else because that's all I wanted. So I started drinking with some older people and I got drunk pretty much right away. I got blackout drunk pretty much right away. I was doing embarrassing things that were not of character pretty much right away. But I felt that sense of just like relief from my pain, like of this not feeling wanted. It was just gone when I did that. And so I was like, this is it. Like, why doesn't everyone want to feel this way like every single day? So I would party as much as I could. And then drugs started coming into the picture, and it was just like, it was just an easy progression. Like as soon as I tried one thing and realized I wasn't going to die immediately, I'm like, what else? What else? What else? Like I felt like I'd found that answer I had been looking for. And it went downhill so quickly for me. I started dating, drinking, you know, the whole thing, at 16, and by 18, I was pregnant and a complete drug addict, like walking through Central Park looking for drugs from random people, like drunk driving, crashing my car into a house. Like I did so many horrible things in 2 years. I just went from this like girl who I was such a goody two shoes and I wanted to make everybody happy and people please and try and get accepted and loved and wanted through like being good. I went to church. I did all these things that I thought were like good girl things to do. From that person to like pregnant teenager, like every cliche imaginable. And I just said to myself, like, this is my destiny. This is what's in my family history. I just can't escape it. It's just who I am. And thank God for my son. I was pregnant with my son and I was able to stay clean and sober through that pregnancy and kind of get things together for a few years. I'm going to fast forward a whole bunch, but you know, drinking was a problem. I lost a job. Things were happening. Definitely that were showing me like drinking is not okay. And I can't do this anymore. But I was actually assaulted, which is, it was so crazy. I was going to like this boat cruise thing with a friend and her boyfriend and thinking like, these are safe people to be with and it's going to be like this glamorous thing. And I show up and it's this little dinky boat and there's no bathroom on the boat and you have to get like undressed to go into the ocean to use the washroom. And so that night happened. My friend ended up assaulting me. I won't go into too much detail because there's not enough time, but my friend ended up assaulting me. I had to go to the hospital. And after that I suffered like severe panic attacks. And for 2 years I couldn't leave my home. Without drinking. Like I just couldn't get on a bus. I couldn't get on a SkyTrain. I couldn't work. I was completely useless. I had people coming over to take care of my son at like 3 o'clock in the morning because I felt like I was having a heart attack and I'd end up going to the hospital. My life was so unmanageable and drinking felt like the only thing that was helping at the time. So I was doing it way more than ever. I did get help. I went to counseling and for a while, things got better. I got on medication for a few years. I went back to school. Life started getting good again. I met my husband now husband. And we ended up getting pregnant again. And then with my second pregnancy, I got severe postpartum depression, which the only thing that I know how to solve any of my problems at the time is using drugs and alcohol. That's all I've got. That was all the tools in my belt. Aside from the little bit of counseling I had done. So yeah, I just kind of picked up where I left off when I was a teenager. And again, within 2 years, I went from not barely drinking at all, owning a thrift store, like making a life with this husband, a really good person, a really good friend, like someone I could be proud of with this education now that I'd been longing for my whole life. And then I'm suffering this like depression, anxiety, and pick up drugs and alcohol. Within 2 years, I am back to that 18-year-old girl. I'm doing things that I hate about myself. I'm thinking I'm broken. Like, this is just who I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I'm a bad person. I didn't want to be that person. I wanted so bad to be somebody else. I wanted so bad to be good but I just didn't know how. I couldn't do it. Like, I just tried my hardest to quit drinking. I tried my hardest to stay away from people that I knew were bad news for me, but I couldn't, because I needed to feel wanted, especially from them. I just needed that. I couldn't understand it, but it was like, I had to be there. I had to get their attention. And so I was now having this young baby at home, using drugs and alcohol, being hungover in the morning, trying to take care of an infant with another son who's in school. They're missing school. They're not getting bathed. My house is disgusting. I'm turning into everything I grew up in and that I feared becoming. And finally, like, it honestly took me, I don't want to say this out loud, but I ended up having an affair, and that was the end of it. Like, I felt like my soul was just done at that point. I felt like I couldn't come back from it. Like, I had murdered somebody. Like, I just, there was no escape from it. The guilt and the shame and the pain of like knowing I did that to somebody. And especially the father of my child and this man that I'm living with, and he's so good to me. Like, it just broke me to the point where I was like, I need to get help. Like, now, like, I cannot live this way anymore. And honestly, I thought that was just going to be the end of my life, because I couldn't take it back. I'm like, I can't fix that. So I did get help. I went to a 12-step program that absolutely changed my life. I got honest about all the things I had done for the first time in my life. And I got honest to my husband eventually, and like everyone that was involved. And things changed drastically. It was a really hard 2 years, but my husband, through that situation, he held me, and he said, I'm so glad you don't have to hold on to that anymore. And I knew something was wrong. And honest to God, like, that was the first time in my life that I've actually felt unconditionally loved and wanted. And that changed me. Like, from that point on, my recovery got so much stronger. I kind of figured out, okay, like, unconditional love is real, and I can feel safe, and I can feel okay here. And and then it just got better from that point on. And all those old things I used to tell myself that I couldn't do, that were impossible, that aren't for people like me, that I don't have a rich enough family, I came from dirt, blah, 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 this is just my destiny, like, all of that went away through recovery. And I get such a blessed life today. And that's kind of why I do what I do now today, is because I know how painful it is to sit in that space of just self-loathing and self-hatred and shame and guilt and pain and feeling unworthy and unwanted. And I just want to help someone else not have to feel that, because I know it's possible now. I don't know if I would have believed it probably 6 years ago that would be a fairy tale to me. But now that I've actually got to experience, like, all I want to do is give this to somebody else.
I am honoring you so deeply right now.
Sorry, that was a lot.
That was so perfect. Like, I am emotional. Thank you for sharing your truth so eloquently. We need your voice, because it's your voice who's going to speak to you 6 years ago who thinks this is a fairy tale. And so thank you for sharing the serious context to where you are right now. Like, you are a beautiful example of what a hard 2 years can look like in terms of inner work. You mentioned coming to terms with your experiences and laying them out on the table and being truthful. Mm-hmm. And do you have any thoughts on someone who's for somebody who's holding something right now?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any, like, what would you say to someone who is holding something that's weighing on them at this time that might be holding them back?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely relate. I can remember thinking, like, if anybody knew what's going on in my head and the things that I've done, they wouldn't love me. They wouldn't be here. They would be gone. They'd be so far gone. Like, I didn't think I could be loved through the things I had been doing. And I just want to say, like, getting that stuff out is freedom. Like, telling somebody, it doesn't have to be the people involved. It could be a counselor, it could be a priest or whatever, like a trusted friend, whoever it is, but get it out of your body, because it sits in there. You can feel it. You can feel the guilt, the shame. You can feel that disconnect between who you are to other people and who you are to yourself. And once you really free yourself from those secrets, you get integrated. You get to be really, truly who you are. I feel like that saying, secrets keep us sick, is so underutilized and understood, because it is so true. I was physically ill. Like, I couldn't come home without feeling sick to my stomach and look at my husband in the eye. At the time, he wasn't my husband, he was my fiance, but I couldn't even look him in the eye without feeling sick to my stomach, like physically ill. So all I wanted to do was escape and be somewhere else and go drink more and party more and be with other people more, because they knew the shit I was doing. It's part of my French, and they still accepted me. So it kept me in these horrible patterns, being a person that I didn't want to be, living with even more guilt and shame. And it's just such a cycle. So getting that stuff out is freedom. If you feel strong enough to be honest with your partners, then do it. I kind of like I threw in the towel, and I'm like, I just have to accept what's going to happen. And I was fully prepared for him to leave, and I was fully prepared for my life to change, but anything was better than living with what I had done. And yeah, so I think it's like one of the most crucial things for me, for my recovery, especially for my mental health, for my happiness, was to not keep secrets.
Mm-hmm. And do you think you had, or do you think that one has to get to that point where they literally, like, are prepared for the absolute worst? Or is there a way to be able to share that before one is at the point where they're in so much inner turmoil? Or does it kind of need to get to that point, do you think?
I can speak from my own experience. I think it kind of did. Like, I'd always jokingly tell the truth, or like tell it half truth, because I could feel the release, that little, like, it's like a pressure cooker. It would just pop open a little bit, and I'd get a little bit of relief from kind of telling a truth here or there, or slipping it into a joke, or saying it in my sleep when I know one can hear. So I knew there was something to it, but for me, like, I just didn't know any better at the time. So I couldn't see the other side of things, and the unknown was so scary to me that I would rather be in pain than do something that could lead to a life I don't know. But I think what happened with me is, because I got recovery first, my whole life was unknown at this point. Like, I didn't know I could live. I didn't know I could go to Mexico without drinking. I didn't know like I could go have fun and sing karaoke without drinking. I didn't know I could be at a patio on a sunny day without drinking. And so all of these unknowns were coming true, and I was realizing, like, maybe the world isn't what I think it is in my head. So I think having that faith building up already really helped me to be honest. I don't think you have to, if you're willing to just have faith, like, you can do it. Anyone can do it, like, right away. You don't have to wait until it's too painful. Mm-hmm. I hope you don't, but it's hard when you don't have the knowledge. You've never done it before. You just can't, you don't know what to expect. So it's hard to tell someone to do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And this speaks to, you know, fear, which, like, that fear of the unknown, which you've written just this stunning ebook that is, like, super potent and full of amazing information and resources, like actual exercises about fear. So just on that basis, could you maybe share a little bit about your journey, particularly with fear? And I know that you've spoken a bit to it, but particularly with fear and how you've navigated these waters.
That's such a good question. Yeah, that book was such, it was so important to me. I've always felt like I'm not smart enough. Like that was a big story I told myself. And that was a big fear of mine that kept me stuck for a long time, was like, I don't want people to think I'm dumb. If I open my mouth too much, or if I put myself out there too much, they're going to see that I'm not smart. They're going to see that I'm not like them, that I don't have an education, and all those things would play in my head all the time. So like just writing the book itself was a big conquering of a fear of mine. And I'm actually getting to the point where I'm so enjoying exploring uncomfortable moments and spaces for myself, right? Because I know that's taking me to the next level. I know as soon as I start feeling that like butterflies in the tummy, kind of sick to my stomach, anxiety feeling, I'm like, okay, I'm stepping up, I'm leveling up, because the next time I do this, it's not going to feel like this. So I just have to get through this part, right? So writing the book was literally like that. It was processing getting through a fear while I'm getting through a fear. But yeah, that journey with fear, oh my gosh, like fear kept me from everything. Just especially when I was right before I got sober, I was just over 200 pounds and hated the way I looked and hated everything about my body, my skin, everything. I was also drinking and using at the time, and just felt like I just didn't honor my body at all. And I felt like I had so much to give. Like I love acting. I love being out there and putting myself on social media and doing all this stuff, but I didn't look like the other women that were doing that. And that was kind of how I decided whether or not I was worthy. Like I'd look at other people who are doing it, be like, oh, that person looks like me and came from my background. Now I have permission to do that. Like that was just how I felt. And I feel like so many people feel that way. And it's so uncomfortable to be the first person that you know to show up in a space. So anyways, I had this fear, like I can't put myself out there because I'm too big. I don't look like other people. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to make fun of me. And so I didn't for a really long time. And then as I got sober, I also went through a weight loss program at the same time and just decided to rip all the band-aids off at once. So like quit smoking, quit sugar, quit carbs. Like
epic.
I know. So I lost 80 pounds in like 8.5 months. And I finally was the weight I always wanted to be. And I'm like, okay, now is my time. And I go to show up in these places and I'm still not feeling confident. And then I'm feeling like an imposter. And I'm feeling like I'm too skinny. And I'm telling myself all these other things that are stopping me from showing up in the way I want to show up. So that, with my last pregnancy, I gained some weight back. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have no value. Like that literally went into my head. Like, oh, people aren't going to want to see me again. Like all those old voices started coming into my head. So it took some time. My daughter's a year old now. Sorry, I've totally lost my train of thought. But it took some time for me to learn to actually be okay in my skin and show up anyway. And that was a big fear of mine, was like, people are going to judge me, criticize me. I'm not the right size. I don't look the way people look that are in this space. And then when I had my daughter and I showed up anyway, and I did the thing anyway, more opportunities opened up for me at the size I am now than had opened up when I was skinny. Or before that, when I was heavier. Like I got onto a commercial with me and my daughter, and like I've been starting this podcasting journey and showing up in more ways than I ever imagined doing online. And you know, I've just so many things. Like it just really, like having the faith to just do it anyway and not give in to the fear allowed me to see, like allowed me to have belief. Like it has to start with faith. And then it turns into belief. And then every time I show up and do something that my head's telling me I can't do and work through that fear, like I just, so many gifts come from it. And the world just opens up. And I really wanted to give that to people. Like I hate that there's like young women out there that are just stuck, like criticizing themselves and beating themselves up like I was. Like, it just breaks my heart that there's like a young mom sitting there thinking that she can't do anything with her life, that she isn't smart enough or isn't like the right size or has too many kids or whatever it is. Like, I want to be kind of that little light for them to be like, hey, like, maybe you look like me and I'm doing it anyway. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's like amazing, because that's, yeah, sometimes we need to see people in these spaces to cultivate our own belief. Please pardon the interruption in this wonderful podcast episode. I'd like to take a moment to share with you the opportunity to be in community and supported in your at-home practice of self-love. I invite you to join the Sacred Circle Collective. This is a group of like-hearted people who gather at each quarter moon to complete a practice, whether that be meditation, movement, breathwork, or any of the other fun stuff that we get up to in the space. This collective is about setting aside 1 hour each week to invest in yourself. If you are listening to this podcast episode, then I believe that you are conscious, curious, and open to practicing self-love. Click the link in the show notes for further information and to claim your first month free. That's all replays, 4 live practices, and the chance to be in this community at no charge with no obligation. I am so grateful and excited to share this space with you, and I can't wait to see you in there. And now, back to the podcast. But I'd love to speak to, well, I'd love to ask you to speak to faith, because, it's, one can say, okay, yeah, like, I've got faith, but what does that actually look like for you, and how did you cultivate faith?
Oh, faith is like one of my favorite topics, so thank you for asking that question, because it's been so many things for me and it keeps evolving. What faith starts out for me is like trusting, like just having trust that things are going to be okay and that it's going to work out. And so for my beginning of my recovery, it was like they told me that, I don't know who they is, but I kept hearing make your bed and pray in the morning. And I'm like, what is this? Like, how is that going to help me not drink and like take care of my kids? And no. Like, I'm just going to mess my bed up later. Like, why do I need to make my bed? Why do I need to pray? Who am I praying to? And I'm like, I have to know all these answers. And then someone told me, just have faith. And I'm like, okay. So to me, that's trusting and doing it anyway. So with faith, it was like, I got up every morning, I made my bed and I prayed, and I did it like begrudgingly at first. And then eventually I started feeling like a little bit of pride in myself because my bed was made in the morning. And then I started feeling a little like more of a connection with a higher power. I started feeling more calm during my day. I felt like I had more guidance, and all these things started happening. So all of a sudden this faith that I was having and walking out in something I didn't understand started becoming belief for me. Mm. And so for me, it started with like the universe. I was like, okay, I'm going to put my faith into the universe. I got really into manifesting and it worked really well for me. Like all these things were coming into my space. And then I started attending church and I really found a connection there. I found like, with worship music and everything, like I just felt it in my soul. But then some politics stuff started coming up with that. And so I kind of, I still love it. Like I'll go to church and stuff, but right now, like my spiritual belief lies somewhere between like Christian and crystals. So
I love that.
That's where I'm at today. But I'm also open to it evolving, and I'm really enjoying this space of just getting to figure out what it is and trying different things out and putting it on and seeing if it feels good and if it makes me feel more connected. And so I've been exploring that area of my life quite a bit.
That's so refreshing to just, you know, because sometimes we hear the story like, oh, I've just known since I was little, right? Which is absolutely beautiful and such a gift, and not something that everyone experiences. So it's so lovely to hear, like, you just get to try it on, see how it feels, see if it works. Like, And what, may I ask, what types of things, you know, so you say like, so you've done some spiritual music, perhaps some crystals, like, are there any other things that you've kind of tried on, just to give maybe the listeners, like, because that's actually quite a range. Yeah. So like just some other things that maybe you've tried on.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of like spiritual connection building, I have absolutely been loving just getting into nature. Like, that's been very centering for me, especially recently. I've just needed it. Like, I need to sit by a river and feel connected that way. Mm. Prayer and meditation have been the building blocks for everything. So if you're wondering where to start, like, that's it for me, is learning. Not learning, you don't really have to learn how to do it, but figuring out what meditation looks like for you. It's different for a lot of people. For me, I love guided meditation, so I'll listen to something usually in the morning. And I like to pray as soon as I open my eyes. I just start talking to my creator and starting a dialogue, and it's really messy, and it doesn't like, it's not the same every day. And it's the basics of it is like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Can you please take over and show me where you need me, and you know, build me to be the person that you want me to be, and that's going to show up in the way you need me to show up. And then look for those things during the day and be like, oh, is this your sign? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I did attend church services. I found a lot of value in. I felt a lot of connection through worship music and through being in a space with so many people seeking God, like, at once. I found that so, it fed my soul in a very different way. I think community is a big part of my spiritual practice, is being in community with people that are also seeking their higher power, their faith. I find it very powerful. Mm. And I've tried Reiki healing. I felt a very strong connection through Reiki healing, just receiving it. I haven't given it to anybody. I don't know how to, but yeah, through Reiki, I've felt was a huge deep meditation, and I really could almost hear like my higher power just reassuring me through it. Wow. I've done it about 3 times now, and every time I've just had the most magical experience where I just feel the presence of my creator with me, and, you know, holding me and being like, it's okay, don't worry, it's all right, we're good.
Epic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's powerful. I've never experienced Reiki before. It keeps coming in. It's like, I probably should try that.
It's a good one. Yeah. It was, the last one I did was a little intense because I was postpartum and I was on a women's retreat. Mm-hmm. And it was like out by the, on a balcony overlooking the lake, and it was so amazing. But I literally like opened my eyes and could see colors. Wow. And then that freaked me out. I'm like, I don't know if I've just gone crazy or if I'm like getting in touch with like some gift. I don't know. But I was trying to like look at people that looked like they'd have like this colorful film in front of them. And yeah, it just freaked me right out.
Yeah. That's unexpected.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's extremely powerful. So yeah, so we cultivate this faith, and it's interesting because when I listened to your story, when you were describing kind of the context, you spoke a lot to, you know, looking for that external validation, and it seems as though now it's kind of, you get to turn within.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just would love to hear from you how that has changed your experience, being able to tap in rather than, you know, reach out.
That changed everything. And I mean, I'm not a pro at that. There is times when I definitely catch myself seeking external validation, but I have awareness today, so I can change. I can change today. I don't need to stay there. Mm-hmm. It freed me because that literally was the only thing I could think that would make me happy, was having people want me and want me around and think I'm exciting and entertaining. And a lot of the reasons why I drank was because my friends would keep inviting me over as like a party trick, because I'd get so crazy drunk and then I was the entertainment for the night, right? Mm-hmm. And that felt like it gave me like something like an in, like, oh, they want me, right? So that ran my whole life. It ran my whole entire life, and I was not free. I was totally addicted. Like, I kept thinking people were trying to, you know, tell me what to do and control me by telling me not to drink, or that I was drinking too much, or maybe I should slow down. And I thought like being able to do whatever I wanted to do was freedom. But I had no idea that that was really what was like controlling me. Like all these things, like needing to feel wanted, needing to feel appreciated and adored and respected, and all those things were controlling my life. And they were, I was acting out in ways that are not me because I'm trying to get those things filled. And it opens me up for a lot more pain and suffering. And now I just feel like this freedom to let people in and out of my life as they come and go. And I don't feel this like need to hang on to people and make them like me. And, you know, this is a really new revelation, actually. Mm. It took a few years in recovery and really working on myself to get to this point and to realize what is really important. And like, once you're free from other people's judgments and criticisms of you and thoughts of you, and you don't need other people to like you to like yourself and to feel okay, then you're really free to do whatever you want in life. Then all that fear kind of goes away, because, you know, a lot of the fear that I had was like, oh, what are people going to think? Mm. Right. So when that's all gone, then all of a sudden I have more options. I can live my life more authentic to myself.
Mm. You said freedom like so many times there. And like, it's, that is like, I fully relate to that, because I'm grateful to have gone on a journey also where I get to tap in. You have used this freedom, this this extra space to create so much. I would love to know more about this Seek Purpose Collective and about how you like birthed this into the world, essentially.
Oh, I'd love to talk about it. Honestly, I feel like I was put on this earth to create things. I've always done it. Like but I've never stuck to anything. I just keep creating it and then moving on and creating it and moving on. And that's another story I would tell myself, is I never stick to anything. Nothing ever, you know, lasts. I'm unreliable. Mm. So, you know, quitting drinking, once I got to the year, I was like, holy, I can do something for a whole year. So that started me believing in myself, where I could be like, okay, what else can I do? What else can I do? So Seek Purpose was a thought in the shower. I was pregnant with my daughter and I was on bed rest and I was feeling very useless and I couldn't get to my support meetings and I felt like I had no purpose. Like I was just sitting there. Well, I was creating a life, which should have felt like a purpose, but you know, I always want more. So I was praying, and I was praying in the shower because that's where I get my best free time when the door is locked, the kids can't bug me. And I said, I need something, God. Like, what do you want from me? What's my next step? Like, guide me into something. And he said, like, clear as day, just kept repeating it over and over and over in my mind. I don't know how God works or if it's his voice or whatever, but this thought kept going over and over and over in my mind that said, your story, my glory. And so I'm like, I don't know what this is. I thought maybe it's a book of testimonials of people like just, you know, finding their creator and how that's changed their life and giving glory to this thing that's created us all. But yeah, so I called a friend of mine, Suzanne, and I told her about it. And she's like, I don't know why, but I need to be involved. And we sat down and started thinking of all these ideas. We were going to be a YouTube channel and we were going to be a book. And we were going to be like so many things. And then we settled on podcasting. And I'm so glad we did, because I feel like people are so much more open to speak, especially about trauma, recovery, mental health, when they're not necessarily on camera. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just more of an open space, I feel like. And when we had our studio, it was really nice. We will have it again, but just not right now. So, but yeah, we wanted to really get people's stories out there and bring hope into the community and bring hope into the people who have been in recovery for a while and just might feel like they're not sure what their next step is or what to do with their life now, because, you know, you've just changed everything. You're sober. Maybe you have a support group, maybe you don't, but then what do you do next? Where do you go? Like, how do you have fun in recovery? How do you connect to people? How do you, you know, form new friendships and get your tribe and all those kind of stuff? So we really wanted to have a space for people that are in recovery that are really trying to get their lives together. And we create events and content around really bringing our community together to enjoy sobriety and to give back in sobriety and to like thrive and heal in your sobriety and in your recovery. So we've done events like the Mother's Recovery Tribe. We put a bunch of gifts together and you're so generously donated the soaps, which the moms loved. But yeah, so we were able to give back to moms in recovery, and we brought the Seek Purpose community together to do that. So people bond more when they're giving back to other people, and it just creates this new level of connection, I feel like. So that's the kind of stuff that we like to do. And obviously we put out a podcast weekly. We've been creating lots of content in different ways and trying stuff out, and we're an experiment too. Like, we're just at this point now where we're small enough where we can try everything and see what sticks and see what works and then go from there. It's been really incredible, and honestly, like, I've just so enjoyed creating all of the content and videos and podcasts and stuff. I just feel like it is my zone of genius, like just getting to do all this techie nerdy stuff.
That's beautiful. And you know, like, perhaps you can shed some light on the feeling in your stomach when you and Suzanne decided that, you know, like, you're going to start a podcast, like, just looping back to this idea of fear and of stretching capacity and of growth mindset. Like, take us maybe there and how you managed your own ego, essentially.
I think most of it was insanity, because I had postpartum anxiety and depression after my daughter was born. So I was going through counseling for that as well. I did cognitive behavioral therapy, and I'm trying everything I can not to have to go on medication, but I'm getting panic attacks like nonstop, and then put me into a podcast studio doing something I've never done before. And there was times where I was literally interviewing people through a panic attack. Like, I was having a physical, like, feel like I'm having a heart attack while I'm interviewing someone. And it was terrifying. And there was times where I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Like, I don't need to put this pressure on myself. But afterwards, there was like this relief that was so magical. That was just like, okay, like, I got through it. I'm stronger now. I didn't pick up. I didn't drink. I've learned new tools. Here we go. Let's do it again. And the next time, scary, horrible, whatever, but it wasn't as bad and it didn't last as long. And then the next time it wasn't as bad and it didn't last as long. And then eventually it started getting easier and easier and easier until I actually enjoy it. And I feel like, I think pushing through it just gives me this confidence that I've never had before, because I kept telling myself I'm going to have panic and anxiety my whole life. Like, that's a fact. But I kept telling myself it's going to stop me from being somebody or from trying and putting myself out there, because I'm going to keep letting people down. I'm going to keep failing. I'm going to keep having to take breaks and like take care of my mental health, and it's going to stop me. And I really believed that it was going to stop me. And so showing myself that I can suffer through it, get to the other side, and that it gets better and better and better was like such a big growth for me. But yeah, it is uncomfortable to do new things. And the thing that kept me going was getting feedback from someone, like calling and just being like, I needed to hear that so much. I can't believe you're doing this. It's so incredible. Like, that kind of stuff just kept planting my feet in the ground and being like, okay, let's keep going. Let's keep going. And so I think what also helps is I haven't felt like I'm an expert at this ever. So I get to keep learning and keep growing and keep giving myself grace. Like, I don't need to have all the answers right now, and I'm learning how to do it as we go.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Beginner's mind is so beautiful. And we get to hold on to that even when we've been doing something for 20 years. Like, I think personally, like, as soon as I call myself an expert in something, I don't know. There's always more to learn, right? Mm-hmm. I love the line in your book when you said, I opened a thrift shop, started a wedding videography business, hosted a podcast, wrote blogs, and 3 books all before I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
And what that really, when I read that line, what really, really hit me was, will we ever be ready? Right? Like, will we ever be ready, or do we just take the leap? And yeah. So I just really appreciated that you wrote that, and it, you know, gives the message that, you know, we don't have to be ready to try.
Mm-hmm.
So this podcast is all about, you know, nourishing oneself. And I know we've talked a lot about discomfort here today.
Yeah.
And it might seem somewhat, you know, paradoxical, but in reality, when I think about it, I consider tapping into one's inner voice, one's higher power, and moving along those lines as an act of self-love and as an act of nourishing self. I'm wondering if there are any things that you do with your time that are perhaps a little bit more obviously nourishable. And maybe anything else that you feel called to share in the space.
Well, that's such a great question. I think like 90% of the things that are good for me and nourish my body are things that are a struggle for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just making sure I've got healthy food in the fridge and that I'm not spending too much time on social media or like consuming too much of anything. It could be media, food, whatever it is. Yeah, like all that stuff feels like work to me. Even doing yoga and stuff, but there's such a benefit afterwards, and I have to push through that discomfort. So a lot of my self-care rituals and nourishments all have to be about going through something that I don't necessarily want to do, and then knowing that this is nourishing my body and having the faith and walking through it.
Mm.
But I think if I'm really just uncomfortable, I need to take care of myself. Like I said, I love sitting by the river and just taking time without my dog. Like I can go for so many purposeful walks where I'm like getting my kids outside and taking my dog with me and like making sure everyone's doing their thing and having a purpose for it. But I just having that time by myself with no responsibilities. That's another part of my story is I grew up with a lot of responsibility. I took care of my 3 younger brothers mm-hmm. and then I had kids, and like, I've had responsibility for a very long time, and I never had that time to just be free in myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like taking that time to just sit alone by the river, and water is just my jam, like in the shower and the bath in the river, like just get me to water. And that really nourishes me. And then guilty pleasure wise, like I love to just hunker down and watch a movie and like completely go brain dead for a little while.
Yeah, that's, I mean, don't we all need that, right? Like just to disconnect
mm-hmm.
and give it a rest for a moment. Oh, well, thank you. I really, really appreciate your voice in this space, and I'm honored to have you here, and I just want to thank you so much, and yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I'm so blessed to be able to come and share here and be on the other side of the podcast, like being interviewed. It's cool.
Yeah, a little different, hey?
Yeah, just a little. I'm excited to have you on.
Yay!
Purpose, yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And for anybody who's catching this beautiful transmission, where can they find you?
The best place to go is probably our website, because it has all of the options there. You can listen to the podcast or check out our Facebook groups. If we have any events going, they'll be on there. And we have an awesome resources page if there is someone looking for recovery. There's a resources tab. We've got a holistic nutritionist we work with, and like counselors, counseling services, and so many things on there. So it's www.seekpurposenow.com. And then on all the social media platforms, we're at Seek Purpose Now.
Amazing. Brooke, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Brooke is such an inspiration to me. She is an incredible example of what can be done when one sets their heart on a healing path. Her living of her message, both in business and in her personal life, absolutely magnetizes me towards her, and I am extremely grateful to be in her proximity. Please also enter her proximity by checking out Seek Purpose and also by following Brooke's own personal brand. And let me know, how are you enjoying these episodes so far? Do you have someone who you want to hear in this space or a question that you are looking to have answered? Please connect with me on social media and join the Your Hearth at Home private Facebook community to connect further with listeners from around the world, as well as your featured guests. All links are in the show notes. I am sending you so much love, and I will see you next week.